Hello and welcome to another episode of the Alternative F1 Podcast. I am joined by a big gun. Now, no, we have a big gun Tommy, on there, Tomo F1 for those who are familiar with the show. But now I've got another treat for you. I've got Aldas, YouTuber extraordinaire, whose channel I watch all the time, and I nick all of his content. So I thought, you know what? To save myself some time, right, I'll just get him on here. How are you, sir?
Just get the information straight from the source. I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. Always good chatting with you. It's been a minute, but yeah, that was quite the introduction. I'll take that. I'll absolutely take that.
you know how it works. It's you butter up your guests so you can get the best content from them. You know how it works. Obviously, we've been
and then you knock them down, right? That's what your plan is.
Oh yeah, they are take over. That's the whole grand plan. But you know what? Like, obviously, we've known each other for a little while now, and obviously, we've worked together for a long time. And I thought it's time to get Aldas back in the Alternative F1 fold and start using all my friends for their knowledge that I do not have. I have fandom, fanaticism, but I do not have a clear cut, impartial vision the way that you have.
Well, that's what I'm here for, mate. You set them up, I'll knock them down. So yeah, we can. That's why we work so well together. So yeah, let's do it.
Well, let's do it. Obviously, we've got the build up now to not next week, the week after, to the Miami F1 Grand Prix, which I'm very excited about. I was literally just saying off air that this is for F1 fans who are hardcore, old school hardcore fans who are willing to be in the tents. In Silverstone and other places like that, which I will not do because I'm corporate hospitality all the way. But I don't enjoy race days, going to that actual race on race days. I love practice. So I get to see, obviously, the speed of the cars and it's a bit more chill. But race days, because of the traffic, I can't deal with it. Is that does that make me less of a fan?
It does not make you less of a fan because I have a similar experience, actually. This actually happened with Tomo. Me and him were talking about this exact thing like about a couple of years ago. So we had the chance to go to Austria when it was like a sprint weekend. And to be honest, like our best experience was going there on the Friday and the Saturday. So you get to see a little bit of practice, you get to see a qualifying, and you also get to see a bit of a race with a sprint. But then in terms of actually watching the race, like it's kind of tough at the track, lots of people, lots of stress and things like that. And sometimes you don't even get to watch the entire race. Like it's more difficult to follow. So the best experience actually is to go to those 2 days and then actually watch the race from home where you've got the commentary, you've got all the data, you've got all the screens and everything just, it feels a little bit easier. So I am right there with you. And just to give you a bit of a little mini story, 2023, Silverstone, me and my best friend JB were leaving the British Grand Prix. And our car park, where we had to park our cars, we had to wait for 3 hours to be able to drive out. That is how long it took us. Yeah, because they were like, there was just something wrong and they were letting out one car park at a time. And ours was like one of the last ones. And my friend spent 3 hours. We spent 3 hours in a car park, basically with no internet, no nothing, because the signal was terrible. And my best friend actually wrote his wedding speech in the Silverstone car park whilst we were killing time, waiting to leave. So
that type of stuff I cannot take. I can't be dealing with, like, I'm not a big crowd person and I can't deal with, like, obviously we deal with Silverstone and thankfully to McLaren, shout out to them for no reason at all. But, you normally are hosted by them. And then there's a nice bit in Silverstone.
You get the helicopter in, don't you?
Oh, bro, honestly, I'm one step away. that's the goal. I'm like close, but so far away. Close in proximity where I park the car, but so far away in money from getting a helicopter in. When that happens, I'm gonna let everyone know. Everyone will know. But yeah, no, it's nice when we get to watch races. Obviously in Silverstone, we get to watch it from the hotel, from one of the suites. So we are on the starting line. We can actually see everything, and it's really nice and it's easy to get back out as well. But like any other race, look, Miami is, like, for those who've been there before, and if you haven't been there before, please make sure that you plan accordingly and get there well early, because the traffic there in Miami, let alone the race, is terrible. So it's going to be even more packed there. And you've got everyone getting these VIP lanes and police escorts to get in, you know, Patron in particular. I'll point at you lot, who are getting all these influencers in and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's nuts. It's Coachella of F1. Definitely, for sure. But you know what? Before I keep on moaning about the race that I'm luckily getting to go to, we have got the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix to talk about. Now, that was packed and it's official. Oscar Piastri is the man that is taking out the man.
Oh my God, what a race by Oscar. It was Max Verstappen had a brilliant lap on the Saturday. I mean, that pole position was spectacular. Oscar didn't quite have it. Obviously, Lando made the mistake crashing out as well. So it opened the opportunity, but it was always crazy because how would Oscar, this was the first time that Oscar Piastri went wheel to wheel with Max Verstappen for the race, you know, for the race win, for the Grand Prix. So how would he deal with Max? We know Max is ultra aggressive. He's very smart. He's very on it when it comes to how far he can push those limits and what he can get away with. He's the master of flirting on that line. And Oscar was just ice cool, jumped him at the start. Massive controversy at the beginning. Max, you know, they went side by side into T1. Oscar won the corner. Ultimately, Max decided to take the run off and keep the position. And ultimately, the stewards decided it was a 5 second penalty that Oscar deserved to be ahead. And once, you know, after the pit stops, after Max had to relinquish the lead, Oscar was just ice cool to the end. So he dealt with Max unbelievably well. He's asserted himself at McLaren. You know, Lando has been there for 7 years now, and he had his kind of first title challenging season last year up against Max. But this year, this is Oscar's third season, and the jump he's taken is unbelievable. So, and you know, Lando making these mistakes. I mean, he's the experienced driver. You know, he's the incumbent. Like Oscar's kind of, I know he's been there for 3 years now, but he's still kind of the young guy. I think only like 20, how old is he? Like 21 years old or something, 23, something like that, maybe. But yeah, it's not looking good for Lando, but at the moment, Oscar's got the momentum. I think Lando really needed this like break just to mentally reset before going to Miami, where of course last year he won his first ever race. So hopefully that's a good omen for Lando to bounce back in the title.
So I'm gonna get to Lando. You know he's my boy. So I'll get to him in a
I
second.
do, yeah.
But the thing is, what I want to ask you this, and this is like could be our little clip. Now, has Max met his match with Oscar? Because I think that he's used to like a George Russell or something like that who's barking, but maybe a little bite. Oscar don't talk. He's not about the whole big bravado, and he's all bite for sure. And then he did to Max what Max has been doing to people for a long period of time. And then Max looks like he's thrown his toys out the pram. Now, I know Red Bull fans are going to come for me as they always do, but Max has thrown his toys out the pram, and he didn't like what he's been doing to people done to him.
Oscar Piastri is cold-blooded. He's the type of character that you can't get him off his game because his emotional bandwidth is almost quite narrow. Like you can't tell in interviews whether he's had a horrible race or whether he's just won a Grand Prix because he's so level-headed. And that just allows him to be so cool in so many different situations, whether he's, you know, winning or losing. And Max has never dealt with a character like that. You know, even when he was going up against Lewis was barking a little bit in the media, Leclerc a little bit as well, Lando a little bit as well. Oscar just does not care about what Max thinks. He doesn't even care about trying to reply to Max. All he cares about is beating him. And I think Max did meet his match a little bit. I think he tried to intimidate Oscar a little bit. He tried to put those tactics, and he realized very quickly that this guy, he's different. You know, he is totally ice cold, and he does his talking on the track and off it. You can't rattle him one bit. And I think that caught Max off guard a little bit.
I thoroughly enjoyed that, because at the end of the day is that obviously I'm not a big Max fan. I try to be as impartial as I
No
possibly
way.
can be. For those who
You're
know
hiding it
about
really well.
Aldas teasing me, you know, there's a little stunt that they pulled ages ago when I was talking about I can't remember what I was talking about. We were talking about it was focusing on Red Bull, and they pulled out all people on the podcast pulled out a Red Bull can at the same time and coincidentally started to drink it. So, you know, he knows Aldas knows me very well, but I'm trying to be
That was a good
impartial as
day.
possible. That was a yeah, that was so I because what it is with Oscar, I think that you know, there's some podcasts I've listened to and they like call him a robot. And obviously, I don't know if you've got to meet him, but I've got to meet him and speak to him a few times. Well, he's just a really just nice guy, but he just isn't fazed by Max's, you know, antics in any form of way. And he's there to race. He's not interested in anything else. No friendships and stuff. He's obviously cordial with everyone. But what I like about Oscar that concerns me about Lando is, and this is what I said at the start of the season, you know, is that I, judging from what I saw with Drive to Survive, I don't know if you can hardcore compete against someone if you are too buddy pally with them. Like, there's a difference between if it's like an exhibition race or me and you going karting or something like that. I'm not going to get into my feelings about if you beat me, which you would whoop me easily and probably lap me twice. But the thing
Gonna
is
just get
that
that in there. Did everyone pick that up, by the way? I'd
let
lap
me
him
just
twice
say,
just to
yeah,
make sure we got that in there.
I'll just make that clear that he actually did this. But the difference is that I just think that if you can't be competing against someone who's happy to push you off the track and is not interested in calling you to check that you're okay, you know, when you've had a fallout, when you both crashed, and is very much focused on themselves and won't, like, you can't be getting in a jet with them and competing with them as well. I just don't think it's true. Am I off the mark? Am I, you know, too far with my competitive spirit?
There's two things going on here. I think we can actually have a wider conversation about sport in general. And we see this in the NBA and the NFL. Like, players nowadays in sport and even in football in general, they are just more friends. They're a bit more buddy-buddy, even if they're on like different teams. It's not like it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago because of social media, because of other things as well, like cultural things. People are just, you know, a bit more closer friends, even if they are then competitors on the track. I think with Lando last year, there was just. I think he expected Max and he expected their friendship to mean a little bit more on the track. And he didn't, I think he was a bit naive because Max treated him exactly like he did with Lewis, exactly like he did with Leclerc. And for Lando, it was a bit like, whoa, hang on a minute, you know, like we're kind of friends. Like I thought you were going to be at least a little bit cooler. And Lando got a bit of a shock to the system. You know, I think Austria was a big wake-up call for Lando because, yeah, he was a bit more on the offensive after Austria. Like, nope, it wasn't my fault. It was Max's fault. But then when we got to Silverstone, he was a bit like, oh, you know, it was blown out of proportion a little bit. And I was like, no, don't back down. You were in the right. Max was in the wrong. So I think Lando is struggling, was struggling to balance that whole Max situation. And now that you throw Oscar into the equation, he's got someone else to deal with now. Now, again, they're cordial, they're teammates, they have to, you know, be good for the team. But I know I mean this in the best way possible. I don't think Oscar has any friends on the grid. I think he's got his family, he's got his girlfriend, and maybe some acquaintances and some super close friends that aren't in Formula One. He doesn't care about the other drivers. He just cares about himself and the people around him. So he's again, there's a lot less emotional attachment with Oscar Piastri compared to Lando Norris. But I don't think with Lando, you know, he's making the mistakes that he's making this year. I don't think it's because him and Max are like these really good friends. I just think it's the pressure from Oscar. It's the pressure of fighting for a title, and it's the pressure of your younger teammates and much less experienced teammates. Kind of starting and beginning to take this championship away from him. So, Belando is still supremely quick, massively talented. He can turn this around, but I just think he needs perhaps a mentor, someone a little bit older, not his family, not his friends, but just someone, maybe another racing driver to just calm him down a little bit and just ease his mind that you're such a good driver. You just need to focus in a little bit and not push as much as you are. So, yeah, Lando's got a tricky, he's got all the talent in the world, but he just needs to set himself up a little bit better for this season, I think, at the moment.
But you know, I'm torn because I think that obviously in this world that we've got to create things, I think that a lot of things are sensationalized a lot more than they are. Like, I almost want to say to the world, all right, relax. Like it's like we're 5 races in, and obviously one sprint race, so 4 actual Grand Prix, in. Am I saying it right? Because I always
So
say
it's
Grand
no, it's
Prix, it's
five
Grand
Grand Prix.
Prix. Grand Prix,
Grand Prix, and it is five
not with
races,
an
yeah.
S. Yeah, so it's
Yeah,
five
the S is
in.
silent.
Okay, right. This is yeah. Someone's gonna remind me in comments, don't worry. But I just think that at the end of the day is that we're still really early. If you look at last season, like McLaren wasn't even in anyone's thinking. It was just Red Bull winning every single race, and then from Miami onwards, then you know they started to get their stuff together, and then. the I don't think I think that Lando was actually caught unawares that, oh shit, I'm actually contending. So I don't think he was, there was no pressure on him. It was, McLaren's everyone's that second favorite team, or like a golden retriever that everyone loves. But then it's like, oh, actually, I've got to compete with this beast. And I just think that he wasn't really mentally ready for it. I don't think that he's having some type of breakdown. I do think that he should think before he talks, because I think that people will, if you say effing idiot, when you crashed, then people are going to think that you're talking to yourself and you're really beating yourself up. When really, everyone's different. And I'm sure that you're harder on yourself than anyone will be on you when you make a mistake or if you do something wrong. And that's how he got to where he is now. So I don't think that it's like a foregone conclusion that Piastri is going to run away with it. I do think that it's between them two. I think that obviously Max is involved in this, but I just think it's too early for some people just writing off Lando.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's why I kind of wanted to like underline that he is a very talented driver. He is still in this championship, but it just feels like I totally get what you mean, where he just feels like he's too hard on himself. I mean, I go back to actually his interview after Bahrain qualifying. I think he qualified down in like P6, and he was so down, man. Like his voice was just so quiet. His head was down. It was tough. And I know that these drivers, no one is more tougher on the drivers than themselves, because like you said, they've grown up like this through karting and racing. But I almost want to go to Lando, like, don't be too hard on yourself. Like, it's a mistake, man, but don't let it get to your head, because when you are so hard on yourself, I feel like it's almost like a self fulfilling prophecy. Like, you almost make it worse by compounding that pressure on your shoulders. And ultimately, in the race, then we see these little mistakes as well, and it's all kind of spiraling a little bit. So that's why I kind of thought Lando really needs this 2 week break to just relax, rewind, let his brain kind of almost switch off, maybe a little bit from Formula One, come back refreshed for Miami, because again, he won there last year. He was so quick in Saudi Arabia. It was just that crashing qualifying that kind of undid him. So, and yeah, it's so early into the season that no one's won this championship yet. Maybe Mercedes come out with a really great upgrade, and all of a sudden, bang, they're the ones to beat. George Russell maybe is fighting for the title. Maybe it's Ferrari. We know Red Bull are right there. Max is always going to be pushing every single person to the limit. Ultimately, Max finished second. Like, it's not a disaster for him in terms of his championship. So this everything is still to play for, man. We've done five Grand Prix. There's 24 races, I think, this season. So there's still 19 races left or something like that. So yeah, we are very early days in the championship, but the early momentum looks like it is with Oscar at the moment.
So let's, as we're talking about Max, let's get involved in the little rumor mill. So, rumor is that, definitely Aston Martin's in play, and obviously Mercedes is. I think, tell me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong, that Aston Martin is the favorite to get him, because obviously they're looking to be rumored to be bought out by this Saudi fund. I can't remember what it's like, Saudi Heritage Fund or something like that, whatever it is. Now,
So the Saudi, I think, yeah, something like that. Saudi wealth fund or something like that. Yeah, sovereignty wealth fund. That's it.
that's the one. So they're looking to buy out, and which I think will happen, because why wouldn't it? So the person actually should be worried about them buying the team is Lance, because you're gone automatically for sure. So I do you think that there's any credence in the rumors that he's definitely going to be Max is definitely going to be leaving Red Bull, because Christian Horner with them printouts the other day was see reeked of desperate behavior.
Bro, those receipts were not worth the paper they were printed on. Like that, they just weren't. I think Max is definitely not going to be moving to Aston Martin next year, because they're just nowhere near good enough. He's going to give it 1 year. Keep in mind, next year, 2026, brand new regulations, fresh sheet of paper for every single team. He's going to use that season to feel it out. I think he's going to stick with Red Bull for 26. I think Mercedes is a little bit more off the table because they have Antonelli for the long term, and George Russell has seriously stepped it up. Like, I'm almost like, do Mercedes need Max Verstappen? Like, George Russell has seriously like stepped up as the team leader. So Mercedes, I'm going to put off to the side. Aston Martin is a big one because they have the Honda engine. We know that Max has a big relationship with Honda. That's for next year, and they also have Adrian Newey. Max Verstappen has won all of these championships in Adrian Newey designed cars. So there's a big connection there. But Aston Martin are so bad right now that there's no way Max is going to risk going there for next year. So I think he's going to feel 2026 out, first year of the regs, give Red Bull an opportunity with their brand new power unit. And then 2027 is going to be the key year where he's going to go, right, am I going to commit to Aston Martin? Because the sort of figures that are being reported in terms of the money that's being thrown his way, it's like a blank check type situation. But you can't win races with a blank check. You can win races in a good car, and that's what they really need to give Max Verstappen if they want to entice him to go to Aston Martin.
I want you to indulge me with this. Let's say the scenario is that when Max does move, who do they go for? Because McLaren, my team, luck, smartly tied down Oscar, and I don't think it was any coincidence. Very quickly, just to make sure that wards off any other chat about him moving anywhere else, because that ain't gonna happen. And I think, look, Lando's gonna be staying. Why would you move from a team that is like, pretty much home to you? So, who gets that seat if Max goes?
I mean, I'm just wanna. There's two people in my mind, but the first one I'm gonna talk about a little bit is Lando himself, because at the moment, he doesn't have a contract for 2027. I think his McLaren contract runs out 2026. We know that Horner has been interested in Lando in the past. I remember 2021, like there was a lot of, kind of, they did try to sign Lando. Like there was conversations and Lando ultimately chose McLaren. And you talked about, McLaren is his team. It is at the moment, but it's very quickly looking like it's slipping away and it might be Oscar's team. And if Max leaves Red Bull, if Red Bull need that number one driver, we know that the second seat, they're struggling with that as it is. Maybe Lando could step into Max's shoes and become that focal point for Red Bull. I'm just kind of put that on the table. He doesn't yet have a contract for 27 signed with Zak Brown and McLaren. Oscar has a contract till 28, so he doesn't have that long-term future. So just putting that out there on the table in case it does become
No, I know
available.
what you're doing. You're trying to wind me up. I know.
Could you imagine through gritted teeth? I know you're a big Lando fan. I know you can't. You obviously have a good relationship with him. Could you imagine you in the Red Bull hospitality, just like behind enemy lines with your boy? It'll be rough. You'd be down bad for sure.
That would be that's the equivalent of Robert Downey Jr. becoming Doctor Doom.
Oh my God, that's so perfect. Yeah, I can see you through gritted teeth in like filming with Lando at Red Bull, like try to pretend you're enjoying it there. But yeah, no, that could genuinely be an option. That could genuinely be an option. But another guy is a young guy called Arvid Lindblad, who is currently in Formula Two. He's 17 years old. Literally this weekend in Saudi, he became the youngest ever winner in Formula Two at 17 years old and like 6 months or something. He's a serious talent. And if he's on the grid for 26 in Formula One and absolutely smashes it, and Max decides to leave for 27, potentially Red Bull could be looking to promote him to their full team or to the big team in 27 for sure. So Arvid Lindblad is definitely a name currently in Formula Two that you should just remember that name. Know the name for sure, because
Wait a
he's going to be big in the
minute.
future.
So are we saying that, I'm looking in the future. Let's say he does move in 26. Now, what happens to Yuki then?
Yuki's in a really tricky situation because he's got no job security whatsoever. The only good thing for Yuki is that there's actually no one at the moment who can almost replace him. Like they tried Lawson, that didn't work. They weren't happy with Perez, so they're kind of luckily they're going to give Yuki, I think, a little bit more time. And I do think that Yuki is improving. He is kind of getting a little bit more to grips with that car. Scored points at least in Bahrain. He got a little bit unlucky, I think, in Saudi, crashing with Pierre. That was just a racing incident. I think Yuki's seat is safe for now. Because I think they're because if Max does decide to leave, I think more for 27 than next year. I think Max is going to be there next year. They're going to need a top driver. They're going to need a race winner. And I think they'll keep Yuki, but they're going to look for that sort of Lando Norris or a Carlos Sainz or a race winner to take over from Max Verstappen to at least keep the team, stable. So I think Yuki's going to be safe for now. But yeah, there's so much that seat is just so tumultuous, man. Like everyone's just kind of leaving and going when it comes to that second Red Bull seat. So Yuki can't get too comfortable as well.
Right, I'm putting you in Toto's shoes. So we're in 2026. Max is up for grabs. So what do you do? Do you stick into right, Antonelli staying because that's his child, literally. And he is my other favorite. I love him. I think he's amazing. Right. So
He's good.
it is between George and Max. Who does, if you're Toto, who does he choose? Because I think, for me, before you say yours, I think that George is going to be the person who's going to go to Red Bull, because I think that just like Fanel style, Toto will drop George off of the side of a cliff to get Max, personally.
Yeah, but can you see, like, let's not forget that Russell and Verstappen have had a bit of beef. Like, even Horner has kind of got involved a little bit as well. Can you see Russell at Red Bull? Like, it's like sandpaper. It's like oil and water for me. Like, I just can't see that happening, to be honest. It's such a weird combination. But ultimately, sometimes, in desperation, alliances might need to be formed. Like, I could definitely see a swap situation where Jules just goes, if I've been kicked out of Mercedes, I need the best car. Red Bull is there. I've got to choose them. So I definitely could. I've actually considered that swap situation, but I think Mercedes, this is so tough because how can you say, we joke, but Max is the best driver on the grid right now. No doubt about it. Like he's just extracting everything out of that Red Bull and he's absolutely incredible. How can you say no to him? But George has done such a good job. Like George is not the limiting factor at Mercedes at the moment. They don't need technically a better driver. They need to give their drivers a better car. That should be their focus. And so that's super tough, man. I think there's also a bit of loyalty. Let's not forget that there is a little bit of loyalty with George and Toto. He is a Mercedes junior for over a decade now, like going back to karting. So I think through gritted teeth, if George just keeps delivering in 2025, even if he isn't given a race winning or championship contender car, I think he's going to establish himself as the undoubted team leader, the guy for the future. And I think Toto is going to have that trust to keep him instead of kind of side eyeing and going potentially to Max. But yeah, could you imagine like George being dropped after everything he's done and how well he's performing?
Well, would you?
Tough.
Because I saw a little tap dance in there.
You did. You did. That was world-class tap dancing for me. I'm gonna go with Russell. I think Toto is gonna stick. I think he's gonna show that faith in George and he's gonna turn down Max. I can't believe I just said that. Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, I just feel like what a good job. But George is doing a good job right now.
I don't know. I just can't see it. I just think it's a tough. Well, right. No one is as ruthless as Red Bull, but I just think it's a tough sport. And if you, George is very good, but he ain't Max. So
That's very
but then
true.
Max comes with his own, like if Max comes with his own baggage and he comes with an entourage
Yeah.
that is just trouble, manager and dad, and then obviously his expectations and also him thinking that he's going to run the team. Now, will that stunt Antonelli's growth? It depends on Toto's love for Kimi Antonelli. If I Max might stunt that growth. So if that happens, because this boy is good, this boy, I'll say within the next like 3 years could be contending. Like he's just like he's always
100%.
been there. He's quick like you on in karting.
Me and Antonelli, we're basically on the same. We're like the same guy, just like yeah, 7 or 8 years difference. He's a little bit. I'll give it to him. He's a tiny bit quicker than me, just like tiny bit.
I would love. You know what? Sorry. In this world, in this universe of F1 racing that we're in, please can we make that happen? I just need two laps, Aldas versus Kimi Antonelli, just so I can see. Because you know what? You've given actual professional drivers a run for their money. I think you beat one Formula E driver, Lucas. I
I
forget his
put
name now.
Lucas Degrassi in a pack. That's what I did. It's as simple as that.
Lucas,
You were
you
there,
gotta
mate.
run
You were
this
there.
back.
You remember this.
I was there. I was like, "What's he doing?" Like, and then each time you was lapping me, then I was seeing like I saw Lucas lap me, and then you was like, just very shortly behind him. I was like, "What's he doing? He's not supposed to be competing against him. Like, relax."
I was in front of him the entire time. I was in front of him. He was sneaky though, because there was like a red flag where you were supposed to like stop. And I obviously stopped. And he was sneak under the red flag, he was sneaking up to try and catch up to me. So when the race was restarted, I was like, that is such a sneaky racing driver moving under red to try to get closer to me. But these racing drivers, man.
One thing I wanted to also mention to Tomo is that last time I mentioned to Tomo that I'm not feeling Alex Albon's radios lately. I know what's gone on with him, but he just seems like a very angry man, and it's not the Alex Albon that we're used to. I know what's going on. I don't know whether it's like there's some type of resentment or anger because or contracts coming up because Carlos Sainz has joined. I know what's going on, but am I the only one to notice this?
No, you're not. It's every single time he talks with his race engineer, it sounds like they're about to kill each other. Like, it sounds like an argument. You know, when you, it's that awkward Christmas, you know, oh my God, the family's arguing at the table and you're just there cringing, like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Like, that's what it feels like sometimes to listen to Alex Albon's radio. But it's honestly, it's nothing, man. It's just listen in the car, pressure, you're like, the adrenaline, the pressure, like every single tiny little detail that's spoken in your ear whilst you're driving at Saudi, one of the most difficult tracks on the calendar. It's just, it gets heated. And it gets heated in karting as well. It gets heated in car racing and Formula One racing. It is just how racing drivers talk. And I feel like sometimes, I feel like fans need to experience it. You know, if you race for yourself and then have someone in your ear, you know, constantly talking while he's trying to concentrate, it just sets off a few nerves. So I think it's just their relationship. It's nothing too crazy. Ultimately, he scored points. You know, him and Carlos scored
True.
points. It was an amazing race by Williams. So yeah, it's just natural racing driver stuff, to be honest.
Right. Okay. We're going to finish this by ridiculously early prediction for the Miami Grand Prix. Obviously, you can revisit it again, you know, when we speak again. But I want to, just from what you're seeing, obviously, you know, they've got 2 weeks for upgrades or whatever they're going to do to the car. But just how you're feeling now, give me a one, two, three.
I'm going to go Verstappen. I'm going to go Norris. And I'm going to go Piastri. So, yeah, that's my top three.
Why? So please explain this.
So, first of all, McLaren have struggled a little bit more when the temperatures have gone up. And let's not forget how good Max was last year. Like, Lando won the race, but he won it because of the safety car. Max was very, very strong around Miami. He's always been strong around that track, and I feel like he's gonna get the job done over those two McLarens in Miami. But they're so quick, those two McLarens, that they're gonna be on the podium. It's gonna be either Lando or Oscar, you know, in second and third. So, yeah. What about you, mate? Put your money where your mouth is.
Well, what I want to happen or
What you think is gonna happen? What you think is? I know exactly what you want to happen, but what you think is gonna
will happen.
happen?
I just think, had Lando not crashed, I think that it could have been his race, because Max got driver of the day. I don't understand why in any form of way. I think that should have been Lando or Charles. Like to get driver of the day, to me personally, maybe Charles Moore, but
Yeah, I was gonna say
I
Lando's, but that's
don't think so. Like,
kind.
for, I've all right, okay. You made a mis. Had he bloody gone past Lewis quicker, then and not made the same mistake twice,
I
in
think Oscar was
what?
honestly, I think Oscar or Charles were driver of the day. Like, Oscar jumped Max at the beginning,
That's true. You should have
should have
actually
been
won
in
it
the
for that,
lead, let's
actually.
be honest. Yeah, should have won it for that. And also, Charles just did a great job because I think he didn't have the third best, like, the Ferrari wasn't even that great, but Charles made it. So, but anyway, no, you're tap dancing now. Miami top three, go.
All right, I'm gonna go with a comeback for, I don't know, I think Oscar's got him at the moment. All right, so Oscar
Bottled it.
first. Yeah, I'm just going with sense now. I just think that Oscar's got it. He's at one with this car. You know, he barring one mistake in Australia, he's literally been perfect. So, all right, okay, I'm going with Oscar. Lando, but it's going to be not much in it. And then this will be the time that these two actually race each other. And then I will go with just reform. Max, third.
Fair enough.
But then
Fair
the
enough.
toys
I'm
start
all down
getting
for
thrown at that pram now. I think that I think that this move is going to happen quicker than you think. I think
You
that
think it's all
there's.
going to collapse?
Yeah, I just think that this move with I just what Christian Horner did the other day was just like desperate, and he doesn't always need to get onto the radio. And like, you know, the engineers already said, "Well done, Max, congratulations." You always don't have to come on as well. Like, he's sucking up a bit too much. So I'm just feeling there's a bit of desperateness from him, if that's a word. There's desperation in Christian Horner, and I think for a reason, because there's a lot of talk here, and then there's probably, you know how it works, there's talks way before we'd know about it, about moving. You know, Aston Martin could be an option, and also until that contract's signed with George, I don't trust that Toto ain't gonna make the switch.
I mean, listen, when it comes to Christian Horner, he is more faithful to Max Verstappen than his own wife. I'll leave it there.
Oh.
It's as simple as we all know it's true.
I will use that one as the clip. That's for sure. Mic drop. That's Aldas, Red Bull fans, not me in any form. You come for him. Right. On that note, I think we'll finish our little review of the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix and early preview of the Miami Grand Prix. Aldas, we're gonna get you back on. You know, we're going to get him back on far more regularly. And we will catch you guys next week. Oh, before I say bye, make sure you check out Aldis's YouTube channel for those who want to know all the actual sensible stuff you should know, not listen to me. Watch his YouTube channel for sure. All right, we'll catch you guys next time. Peace.